Second, an introduction to Chan. Chan and daily life. As espoused by the sixth patriarch, the Chan school does not rely on writing or speech. Words cannot describe Chan. In the past, if someone recited the name of the Buddha in a meditation hall, they would be asked to rinse out their mouth for 3 days. If anyone spoke, they would be given 30 lashes. This may sound excessive, but if we understand the approach of Chan, we might think otherwise. Chan points directly to the mind. When we understand the mind, we will see our Buddha nature and attain enlightenment. The teachings of Chan are transmitted from mind to mind, for Chan is beyond words. If we try to explain Chan in words, what we are explaining is only a semblance of Chan. Chan is something that cannot be said, yet it is something that cannot be left unspoken. Thus, the Chan school emphasizes the importance of passing on the teaching from teacher to student. Like the passing of a baton in a relay race, the Chan teacher may give a student who has understood the true meaning of Chan a certain object to symbolize that the teaching has been passed down to the next generation. At other times, words can be used to denote the passing of the teaching. While analysis and examination are critical skills in acquiring worldly knowledge, a Chan master needs but a few words to reveal the secrets of the universe. Through the practice of non-discrimination, Chan helps us realize transcendence. People who study Chan not only must be clever and bright, they must have a sense of humor. When we read in various Chan texts the dialogue between great Chan masters, we can see for ourselves the humor and the subtleties of the Chan teachings. This is not a discussion of the Chan school's teachings, of sudden enlightenment, or how to meditate. Instead, I wish to share the joy and freedom that is available to us if we integrate a bit of Chan into our everyday life. Qing Yuan, Xing Si, one of the leading disciples of the sixth patriarch, once said, "Before practicing Chan, I saw mountains as mountains and rivers as rivers. While practicing Chan, I saw mountains as not mountains and rivers as not rivers." After awakening through practicing Chan, I saw mountains as mountains and rivers as rivers. Before Qing Yuan Xin Si practiced Chan, he looked at the external world. Like the rest of us, he saw mountains as mountains and rivers as rivers. But as he began to practice Chan, his mind and vision transcended the ordinary world. He did not look at mountains as mountains or rivers as rivers. After he attained enlightenment, his internal world was harmonized with the external world. He could look at the world both with a mundane view and a supramundane view. In this state of harmony, he still looked at mountains as mountains and rivers as rivers. But although mountains and rivers were still mountains and rivers to him, he now looked at them with a different state of mind. I am not suggesting that everyone should meditate like an old monk or seek enlightenment like the sixth patriarch. We need not immediately dive into such strenuous practices. But if we can approach our lives with a bit of transcendence and spare a few moments every day to practice Chan, then we will be able to use the mind in new, wondrous ways, different from ordinary people. This is not as difficult as it sounds. Take, for example, the act of drinking tea. While some of us may find a certain herbal tea pleasant and fragrant, others may find the taste bitter and strong. Similarly, while some people like hot, spicy food, others find the same food unpalatable. Due to our different preferences, the same food or drink appeals differently to each of us. In the same manner, how we handle different situations often depends on our mindset. If we can integrate a bit of Chan into our daily lives, our state of mind will become elevated. We will look at life differently. By learning about the teaching methods of the sixth patriarch, we can catch a glimpse of what Chan is, and our lives will be greatly enriched. Where are you from? The Platform Sutra describes the first meeting between the fifth patriarch and Wei Neng. When the fifth patriarch first saw Wei Neng, he asked him, "Where are you from? What do you seek?" "I am a commoner from Xinzhou in Lingnan. I have traveled far to pay homage to you. I seek to be a Buddha and nothing else," answered Wei Neng. The fifth patriarch said, "You are from Lingnan and also a barbarian. How do you expect to be a Buddha?" Wei Neng replied, "Though people may be northerners or southerners, Buddha nature has no north or south. While my barbaric body is different from yours, Venerable Master, what difference is there in Buddha nature?" When the fifth patriarch heard Wei Neng's reply, he developed a high opinion of the future sixth patriarch. Eventually, the fifth patriarch passed the lineage, symbolized by his robe and bowl, to Wei Neng. Later, when he taught the Dharma as the sixth patriarch, he asked the same question of his many disciples. I have chosen three such examples to share here. When Chan Master Nan Ye Huai Rong met with the sixth patriarch, the sixth patriarch asked him, "Where did you come from?" Huai Rong replied, "I came from Venerable An's place." The sixth patriarch then asked, "What brought you here?" Huai Rong could not answer this question. He stayed with the sixth patriarch for 10 years and did not reach enlightenment until he was 30 years old. When Chan Master Qin Yun Xin Zi first came to Chaoxi, the sixth patriarch's monastery, he asked him the following, "What did you do before you came here? Xin Shi answered, I did not even practice the noble truths. He meant that he was not attached to becoming a Buddha or a patriarch. So the sixth patriarch was very impressed with him. When Nanyang Huizhong, the personal Chan teacher of emperors Su Zhong and Dai Zhong of the Tang Dynasty, first arrived at Chaoxi, the sixth patriarch asked him the same question. Huizhong replied, I came from nearby. The sixth patriarch was also delighted with his answer. In Chan practice, curiosity is important. Conversations between Chan masters usually take the form of questions. When the fifth patriarch asked Wei Neng where he came from, he established the causes for Wei Neng to become his disciple and later the sixth patriarch. In his later years, the sixth patriarch used this same question to help his students find their intrinsic nature.